This is another one of the series that Holy Ghost is teaching on learning to be with Him, learning to acknowledge Him, learning to trust Him, learning to trust the Holy Spirit. The question is, can we trust Him with our hearts? Can we trust Him with our needs? Can we trust Him with our pain? Can we trust Him with our wounds? Can we trust Him? Now, this is what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit in John 14:16-17. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. He also says about the Holy Spirit in John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And in John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. And then Jesus said to the apostles before He ascended, but you shall receive power in Acts 1:8 when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And if we actually look at the book of Acts, we can see that the Holy Spirit, He's mentioned more than 50 times in Acts, and He is revealed as the living God, living in those who believe in Jesus Christ. Now, if He is the Spirit of truth, if He is our helper, if He is the teacher, if He is the one sent, because Jesus has ascended, and He is the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of revelation, can we not trust Him with all things? Now, we again want to look at the practical, because it's easy to have some kind of esoteric, distant theological understanding of Holy Spirit and never really relate to Him. He wants us to know God, for He is God. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know the Father. He wants us to know the Savior. He is the Spirit. God is Spirit. Are we going to trust God with all that we have? And how do we learn to do that? Because this is what He wants to teach. Just like in any other relationship, trust comes by experience, by time, by communion, by fellowship, by relating. It isn't something that happens spontaneously out of nowhere. It isn't something we're forced to have. Trust is delicate, but once it is honed, once it's developed, it is so strong that it can't be broken. When you have trust in God Almighty, the One who made billions of galaxies, I'll say it over and over, trillions of galaxies. When you have trust in that One and know that He's the One that not only lives in you, but made you, designed you, gave you life, gave you a purpose, and He's the One who is asking and seeking your trust, it is so much easier then than trusting some idea, some concept, some scripture that has been told to you but has no meaning and no life to you. It must be personal. He's a personal God. He came in person as Jesus Christ. Now He lives in person as the Holy Ghost. So to develop that trust, we're going to have to develop relationship. Now, let's again use a for instance, because as always, it just is such a useful example for us to apply in our own lives, because we all have real problems. We all have real issues, real challenges, real needs, real disappointments, real hurt. We can't pretend that we don't have those things. Jesus had those things. He just dealt with them without sinning. We tend to give over to our flesh. And that's why we need Holy Spirit, because if we walk in Him, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Whether it's envy, anger, jealousy, hatred, whatever that lust may be. So let's have a for instance, and let's make this for instance about forgiveness, because forgiveness is such a misunderstood issue or problem in believers' lives. Usually you're told to just forgive and forget. You're supposed to make some kind of statement, and somehow your heart is going to suddenly change. Now, I am not saying that is not possible. It does happen. But more often than not, it doesn't. So, say you have a situation where someone has deeply wounded you, and in a way where you can't just snap your fingers and suddenly say, I forgive you, it's all okay. You may say the words, you may lip service those words, but they do not touch your heart. And they do not change how you feel about that other person. The other day, Holy Spirit was sharing with me what forgiveness was and what it wasn't. And He said this to me, because I was looking at an issue of some people that had really betrayed me. And not just betrayed me, but that had I had continued to have any interaction with them, they would continue to harm. They were people that were toxic or poisonous in my life. So it's not as if I could reconcile with them. It wasn't safe to. But there still was wounds in my heart. And I was talking to Him about the forgiveness. I was asking Him to help me. This is what He said. He said, forgiveness is not pretending that it doesn't matter. Forgiveness is letting me heal your heart of something that mattered so much. And I thought, that's the authentic God. That is how He is. He does not tell you to pretend. He does not tell you to lip service. He does not tell you to band-aid. He tells you to tell the truth, for He is truth. And when He said that to me, I felt a real freedom, a lifting off of this need to try to make it okay. Try to pretend it didn't bother me. No, these were horrific wounds. These were not something that somebody, you know, bumped your car in the shopping parking lot, or somebody, you know, cheated you of $25. These were major, deep, and long-term wounds. And we have to ask Him and tell Him and be honest with Him when we cannot forgive. We can't pretend that we can when we can't, because there will never be a healing. And this is not talking about holding a grudge and thinking that we have a right to do that. It's nothing to do with that. It's your actual heart that is His concern. He wants your heart healed and freed and clean. And if we're hating people or resenting them or not forgiving them for what they've done, our heart will not be clean. It'll be tainted by that. And we will see everything to some degree through that veil. He wants us to be free of that. So what do we do? How do we come to a place where our hearts can come clean or be cleansed? Do we do it? Do we make our hearts cleanse? Do we declare scripture? Do we try to force it? Do we pretend? None of that will be authentic and none of it will work. We might temporarily con ourselves, but you can only do that for so long. So how do we do it? It's as simple as this. We come to Him. We tell Him the truth in our heart. And we ask Him as our helper to help us. Whether it's that we need to help Him help us forgive, or whether we need to allow Him to heal the wound, and with that wound healing, forgiveness will come. And it will be authentic. Now, in some situations, you can't continue to have relationships with people because they are either harmful or dangerous or poisonous. Now, that's for him to tell you. He's been showing me again another thing. Again, this is about trusting him. We like to control our lives. We like to have everything according to the way we think it should be. And we need to be honest with him about that. We have no peace when we're trying to control it, but we still desire it. Now, if you stop controlling it and you actually submit to him and what he is doing, that's when you're going to find your freedom. That's the scary part for us. Trusting him. Realizing that our answers, our ways, our intentions, our agenda, our arrangements are nothing compared to what he wants to give us. They are absolutely nothing. We have to realize that. If he can exceedingly abundantly give us more than we could think or ask for, isn't that what we want? Now let's go back to Acts for a moment, because as I said before, Holy Spirit is mentioned at least 50 times in Acts. And sometimes the book of Acts is called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It has been referred to in that way. Now, let's just look at 13. We're going to show how Holy Spirit works in our lives or can work in someone's life. 13:1. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Holy Spirit said, he determined who would work together and in what capacity. That's fairly detailed. We shouldn't be thinking of Holy Spirit as if he's not involved intricately in every aspect of our lives. He is. Let's look at another example. This is in Acts 15. Now, I'll just give a synopsis of the situation. There was quite a controversy. There were people who were called the Judaizers who wanted the Gentiles, the new Gentile believers, who were now Christians, to follow the same edicts as the Judaizers did, which would include the law of Moses. And the other apostles said that this was unfair, it shouldn't be expected of them, they shouldn't have to take up the law of circumcision and all the other ceremonial laws when they're new Christians and they were never raised in that particular tradition. Now this is what happened. They conferred together, and in Acts 15:28 it says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well." Again, how detailed is that? And it says the Holy Spirit, it seemed good to him and to us. So they conferred with him. "Lord, what do you expect of the people? What do you say is their boundaries? What are the parameters that you have for these new believers? We need something set. We need something solid so that others can't influence them differently." That's how practical he is. He's not a wispy spirit. We have to get that out of our hearts and minds, that wafts in and out at will. Or because we called him up. We don't conjure up Holy Spirit. We can ask him to come. We can ask him to fill us up again and again and again with his glory and his grace for whatever it is he's called us to do. Whether it's something we have to confront in a personal relationship or whether it's something we have to deal with in the external world or in our workplace or with our children or with our spouses. Doesn't matter. He's there. We're in union with him. It says we have the same spirit as the Father. That's Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God. The living God. That's who lives in us. not some strange, mystical, foreign spirit, but the one true God. Here's another instance, a practical instance again with the Holy Spirit in Acts 16:7. This is about when Paul was traveling from Galatia and wanting to go to Asia. It says, well, let's go 16:6 and 7. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And they had come to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, stopped them. Holy Spirit made a border, made a barrier for them. Now we would think, oh, but we want to preach the word in Asia. But Holy Spirit said no, for whatever reason. In fact, we find out the reason later, because the people in Macedonia need Paul and his companions to actually preach and teach there. And the Holy Spirit knew this. Paul did not know this yet. We have to admit that we just don't know everything. And that's why we have the Spirit of Truth, who does know all things and leads us into all truth. So now, in a practical way, we're going to learn how to trust him. If he can do this, if he can decide who's going to work together and where, he calls ministers and he calls them to their work. If he can decide what are the parameters for your life morally, which is what he did when the apostles gathered together to decide what was going to be right for the Gentile believers. And they conferred with Holy Spirit to get that, those details. And he can stop us when we're going in the direction he says no. We may not understand why. We might think, but this is God's work. We should be doing this. But he says no, because he has something else that he knows about that we don't. That can be in our own lives. Do you know, we can do our what I've often called Christianese. We can do what we think, okay, the scripture says this, and this pastor said that, and this teacher said this, and oh, I must do it. I must be good. These are the rules I have to follow. But Holy Spirit has actually said, and I'm not talking about him going against what he's put in his word, his written word. He won't. But you've got to know how to interpret that word. And the only way you're going to know is through the Spirit of Truth. Not by another teacher, not by a preacher, not by a pastor, not by somebody else, but by the living God who lives in you. Otherwise, you're going to read the Bible, and it's either going to be a sword to cut you to smithereens, or it's going to be, if you want to interpret it in one way, in a legalistic way, or it's going to be something that constantly soothes your soul and tells you whatever you do is all right, because you want to read it that way. But that is not how it was written. It is only truth. And as we know, it is a double-edged sword. Cuts through spirit and soul, bone and marrow. It can separate that. That's how precise, that's how sharp, that's how wise it is. So now that we know he works in the practical and in the details of our lives, how do we allow him to do that now, in the present day, not in the early church, but in our lives? How do we allow him to help us? He who is called the helper. Again, it always goes back to relating to him, knowing, coming to know God. I recently was ministering to someone, and they had difficulty. They had a health issue for a family member, and they were quite distressed, and it had been a very long-term health issue, and there had been a lot of prayer, and there sometimes was improvement, and sometimes it seemed to go backwards, and it was very straining to them. And as I was praying for them, Holy Spirit showed me something he wanted to give them. And what that was just the pure light of Christ. He was called the light of the world. And he lives in us. The light of the world lives in us. And the Father was showing me that what he wanted to give this person was such a solid knowing of who he was, that he wouldn't be shaken again. That's what he wants to give us. He wanted this person, this believer, to know him. Isn't that what it says? It says that this is eternal life. This is what Jesus said that to the disciples. This is eternal life, to know the Father in heaven and Jesus Christ. How do we get to know them? Through the Spirit. We can know nothing without the Spirit. Remember, Jesus even said that the world could not know him. Well, we are not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And we are to know him. It is through Holy Spirit that we will know the Father and the Son. So deeply, the one true God, the communion that we all long for. We think if we can just get this one thing happened in our life, whatever the problem is, if we could just get that one thing resolved, we'll be happy, we'll be satisfied, we'll be content. It's not true. We all know that. Most of us have lived long enough to realize we get that one thing resolved, it does not mean that we have perpetual satisfaction and contentment. No, then there's another thing and another thing. How do we really want to be? Don't we want to know God himself so deeply? Knowing him is the greatest prize you can have, the greatest accomplishment, the greatest goal, the greatest treasure is to know God. And when you come to know him, you cannot help but trust him because of who he is. Greater than any God you could ever imagine or want, he is the God we've always wanted. The one we have, Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So how do we learn to trust the Holy Spirit? We come to know him. As we come to know him, trust will grow of its own. It's not a forced issue. It's not that I better be a good little Christian and trust him. It's that we come to know him, and trust will in itself sprout and blossom in our hearts for him. But how is that going to happen? By not only being with him, but giving him all those things that are so important to us, what is so precious to us, and trusting him with those things, whether they be our children, which aren't things but people, whether they be our spouse, whether they be our call, whether they be our needs for provision, whether they be our wounds from the past, trusting him to take care of all of it. Doesn't mean we don't do our part where he asks us to do it. We are called to do certain things, but we ask for him to guide us in those things. We don't make assumptions about it. We let every step we take be guided by his wisdom and his leadership. When you start letting someone lead you, just even if it was in the natural, say you're in a military situation and you have a commanding officer, and he's leading you into an enemy territory where they want you to obviously defeat the enemy and take that area. If you don't trust that commanding officer, it's going to be very hard to defeat the enemy. And it's the same for us. If we don't trust Holy Spirit, how are we going to defeat the enemy that is attempting to either thwart whatever God has for us, or to undermine it, or to harm us in some way? We have to trust him. He is the God that is faithful, is trustworthy, is steadfast, and gave himself for us. He's worthy of our trust. Sometimes it might be a tentative little step, but step out and begin to give him everything. If it's one thing at a time, that's fine. But begin to give it to him and watch him make wonders that you can never have imagined were possible. Because we think that if we don't control things, if we don't handle it all, somehow he's going to let us down. We never give him a chance to not let us down. We never give him a chance to triumph for us. Or how rarely have we? I think it's about time, especially given the days are getting closer and closer to his coming. It's about time we let him be our champion. So let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, glorious Savior, divine Teacher, we ask you in Jesus' name to be our all in all, to be our champion, to be the one whom we can trust fully and completely with everything. We ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we would no longer try to control all of our lives, but instead that we would give to you every part of ourselves, every desire, every need, every wound, every fear, every worry, and we would believe you what you said to us, that we needn't worry, we needn't fret, because you are with us. You are in us. And we thank you, Lord, and we ask you to help us to be your champions as we allow you to be ours. In Jesus' name, amen.